Okay, guys, welcome back here to Simple Faith Baptist Church, where the Bible changes us. We don't change the Bible. Brother Carlos here. Like I said, just going to do a small Sunday school so I can focus the rest of my energy for the Sunday service. My wife and I had a rough night of sleep and going through all the upper body pain. It's very annoying. And so just keep me in prayer, and then sure to appreciate that. One day we'll have some support here, and that'll be a blessing. And so until then, would you do me a favor, guys? Turn your Bible with me to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1. And what we're going to talk about for this Sunday school hour is the effects. What affects our inheritance? So this is going to tie into our Sunday service. For those of you who have been with us in our verse-by-verse study through the book of Galatians, we're going to talk about that this afternoon. So we're going to discuss what affects our inheritance as Christians. And today I would like to begin the Sunday school hour to begin to teach you what the Bible teaches of what affects your inheritance. One day you will die, or Jesus Christ will come and rapture your body. And you will stand before him at the judgment seat of Christ, and you will give an account for everything you did as a believer. Remember that you are going to go to heaven because you trusted the gospel by faith. We know that we're not saved by our works, and we know that our works are not going to have any condition upon our entrance into the kingdom of God. But what your works will affect is the condition of your inheritance. In other words, your inheritance is conditional based upon your obedience. So after you believe on Jesus Christ for your salvation, you become a Christian, how you live the rest of your life is what's going to affect that one day. So either A, you guys continue to serve God the best you can with all you got. You try your best to read your Bible. You try your best to pray. You try your best to be committed to your local church. You try your best to share Christ with others. You try your best to be as godly and sincere every day. You try your best. Or B, you don't try your best. You continue to live how you want. You continue to do what feels good. You don't really care about reading your Bible. Your family, your friends, entertainment, work is more important. Video games are more important. You just continue to serve your flesh. And when that happens, you are affecting your inheritance. You will not be blessed by Jesus at the judgment seat of Christ. As a matter of fact, you will probably be disappointed, and he will be disappointed. And I don't want you to deceive yourself, and I don't want to deceive myself by thinking that if I continue to live however I want, even though I'm saved by grace, and yeah, really, reading my Bible's not important, going to church is not important, I don't want us to entertain a lie. So today, let's quickly talk about what affects our inheritance, and I'm going to start with you in 2 Peter chapter 1. So if you have your Bible there, I'd appreciate you turning there with me. And while I begin to minister to you, if you can pray for me and pray for my wife. My wife has a little bit more energy. I'm very thankful for that. It's just we're taking it a day at a time, as you guys know, with our recovery. And I could definitely use your prayers. And then God willing, one day in the future, we can have some great men to stand behind this pulpit to minister to you guys and help co-labor and co-teach the flock and feed the flock. That'll be a huge, huge honor and blessing. So we're going to continue to do our best to feed you guys. 2 Peter chapter 1, read with me. We're going to read verse 1 through 4, and then we'll pray. The Bible says, starting in verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So first of all, you just got to remember the context. He is writing to people who have trusted the gospel like you. He is writing to people who are recipients of the righteousness of Jesus Christ, just like you. He says in verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Now listen, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for allowing us to gather once again here at church. Lord, thank you for the members that came back faithfully here today. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen me to minister to the flock. I pray that they would have sincerity today in their hearts to not be distracted today with any cell phones or what they're going to eat after or what they're going to do, God. So that way today we can wholly dedicate ourselves to the Word of God and to the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, would you please help our church now to have a heart ready to hear, ready to obey, ready to learn how to be a better Christian, God. And Lord, may this material change me first so that way I can be an example to the flock so they can have someone to look to that's not a hypocrite. And Lord, may this continue to develop within us faithfulness and obedience to you so they likewise don't live as hypocrites. So Father, I love you. I believe they love you, but we need more of you. And I pray that you would meet with us now and continue to help us as we get through this circumstance together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, go back with me to verse 1. Once again, here's an easy way to remember how to study your Bible. You guys went to school and they taught you the 5 W's. Who can name them for me? What are the 5 W's? How is not a W, but almost there, sister, almost there. Why? And then there's the silent H. So if you could apply that even in your Bible reading, guys, that's a great way to study your Bible. So who, what, where, when, why? So who's writing? We have Simon Peter. Who is receiving the letter? Those who have obtained like precious faith. So these are fellow Christians, born-again Christians. What is he talking about? He is going to begin to let them know of the divine power, look at verse 3, that Jesus Christ gave them, look at verse 3, and with what he gave them, he is letting them know why they can live godly, holy, righteously right now while they're still living in this earth because of the power that Jesus Christ gave them. So that's a good way for you to apply that to your study Bible or when you're studying your Bible, when you're taking notes, just ask yourself, what are the 5 W's in this chapter? And then how or what can I see if there are commands for me to obey, things for me to observe, stuff like that. So now let's go through this together. He's writing to them, verse number 2. He says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. I just want to remind you, friend, you need to read your Bible. Praying is not sufficient. Reading your Bible without prayer is insufficient. You need both. You need prayer that's going to develop your relationship with him, and you need the knowledge, which is what? The Bible. You need both of them. So if you want to continue to experience that grace and that peace that God wants to give you, what do you need? Prayer, and I need to read my Bible. I got to couple them together. Now look at verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us, what does it say, church? All things that pertain unto life and godliness. When you see that word godliness, it's another way of saying godly living. So just think about that in the back of your mind. Godliness, godly living, to live godly, right? And for those of you that, for example, whatever role you find yourself in, some of us are husbands, some of us are wives, some of you are children to your parents. You have been given all power by Jesus Christ to be godly as a husband, wife, child, etc., etc. Now listen, through the what? Knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So where can I go to learn more about that power? The Bible. But what do I need to do in order to access that power so it could work through me? I need to pray and ask God to fill me with that power so that way I can live godly. Because according to verse number 3, everything you need in this life to live a godly Christian life, and not only godly, but in your King James Bible, there's another word, goodly, G-O-O-D-L-Y, a good life. You need his power, and you need his knowledge. So there's two things I want you to start thinking about for me this Sunday school hour. I need to develop a better relationship with my Jesus. How do I do that? I pray to him. I talk with him. I spend private time with him. I put away my cell phone. I put away my distractions. I put away my video games. I might even have to say, husband or wife, why don't you go over there and spend time with the Lord? I'll come right over here on the other side of the room and I'll spend time with the Lord. I need to develop a stronger love for him personally. Number two, after I'm done praying, talking with Jesus, spending time with Jesus, I need to learn now what he gave me. So that way, I can learn how to use it. So what's that? The power. And where do I get that? The Bible, that's the knowledge. The knowledge aspect is the written scriptures that are going to impart to you understanding. So there you have it, friend. Verse number three, according to Jesus, you've been given all power. According to the Holy Spirit, his divine power gave you all things. So today, as a husband, as a wife, as a child, as a church member, as a minister, you and I have no excuse as to why we can't do something for Jesus. When you begin to say that to yourself, you're limiting Jesus in you because you're no longer serving him off his power, you're serving him off your power. So, for example, when we're talking about soul winning or getting involved with your local church, starting a ministry, getting discipled to teach the Bible, helping out with youth, you have power to do that. But when you begin to say, Brother Carlos, I don't know if I can, you're telling me you're not operating off his power in you. That's your power. So let me give you just a little sharp nugget, amen, in love. You've been given all power to serve him. If you don't use all that power, then don't be surprised why you're not going to grow, and you'll continue to grow like a couch potato Christian, you know, real slowly, stagnant. He's there, but with all the access that he's given you to his bank account, you're only taking out $5. He wants you to take out as much as you want. So today, friend, I just want to encourage you in love. You can serve him because you've been given all power. You have been provided the power of the living God in you right now, friend. You can serve him. You are not limited. You limit yourself when you say, Brother Carlos, I can't. I can't read like you. I can't teach like you. I can't set apart a couple of hours to go to an after-school program. Or no, you can. You're just limiting yourself. The same way that you were willing to put energy to, again, pursue relationships, apply for that job, putting your resumes out places, studying what video game you want to buy next or what movie we should watch. You guys put in a lot of effort into all those things for your flesh, but why not for Jesus? So you could, is what I'm just trying to share with you now. Now look at verse number four. The Bible says these are promises. Look at verse four. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises that by these, now listen, and not anything else, not everything of the flesh. It's these spiritual promises that by these ye might be partakers of the what? Divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. So what does that look like? You have access to God the Father. You have access to God the Son. You have access to God the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that you have access to the Godhead. The Bible says that you can partake of that divine nature. Now, guys, we know we are sound in our doctrine. We're not believing that we can become gods. That's a false doctrine out there. People believe that. And yes, we obviously don't believe that. But do you know that you can act more like the Son of God? Do you know that you can love more like the Son of God? Do you know that you can be obedient to the commands of the Father like the Son of God? Do you know that you can be a faithful husband like the Son of God? You can be a faithful wife in submission to the commands of the Father like the Son of God was to the Father in submission? In other words, you can partake any moment of the day of that divine nature. The question is, do you want to? Or is the movie more important? Is the game more important? Is hanging out more important? Are the things of this world more important? My school, my friends, my family, cooking, and everything else. Is that more important? I like how Brother James talked about that a couple of weeks ago at the Bible Conference up north. When Jesus Christ was talking about these last days, he pointed back to the time of Noah and Lot. And Jesus Christ, rather than talking about what Sodom and Gomorrah was doing that was wrong and sinful, like living homosexual lifestyles, their pedophilia, their idleness, their stubbornness. You know what Jesus was talking about? People who were busy just living life, getting married, planting, building their homes. Can you believe that Jesus Christ was talking about people who were just doing normal things? Because it is a distraction. And I'm just telling you in love, you have power, is what I just want to get across to you today. If you are a Christian, You have divine power, so you could partake of the divine nature. The question is, are you going to use it? So now let's talk about this point one. If I don't use this divine power, how will this affect my inheritance? Well, allow me to share with you now. Do me a favor, and let's continue to read verse 5. So beside all that he just said, look at verse 5. Beside this, give all diligence. Are you diligent this morning? Were you diligent to want to come to church, or were you forced to? Were you diligent to want to read your Bible, or were you forced to? Are you being diligent with everything that he's given you? He says here, with all diligence. So all that energy, guys, all that virtue, all that zeal you have in there, he wants you now to use that and redirect it towards him. Look with me now. He says, add to your faith, what does it say? Virtue. So who has to do that? Anybody? That's correct. Thank you, brother. We do. That is my responsibility. So remember how I keep telling you guys, I kind of gave you this analogy. God gave you the Holy Spirit. He gave you the Holy Bible. He gave you a church. But now it's your responsibility to use what he gave you. So now there you have it. You have to add to your own faith virtue. And to virtue, the second part, knowledge. And to knowledge, verse number 6, temperance. What is that? It's like self-control. And to temperance, patience. Do you know you have to add that to your life? And to patience, godliness. Remember that. Just think about it like godly living. Verse number 7, and to godliness, what does it say, church? Brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. So here it is. For if these things be in you, I just have a quick question for you. Are they in you? And if they're not, why? What are you putting more in you than this? Because this right here, all the social media, this represents your games, this represents entertainment, movies. This is not going to help you to be a better Christian. And then your family and your friends and everything else, your workplace, money, if you continue to add all those things and not these spiritual things, they're not going to help you in your inheritance. So now let's finish reading this verse. If these things be in you and abound, so how much do you want of these things to abound? It's up to you. They make you that ye shall neither be what? Barren. Do you guys know what barren means? Anybody? It's when a woman cannot give birth to a child. Nor unfruitful. In the what? Knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So do you know what is going to affect your inheritance in a positive way? If these spiritual things are in you, and if you are diligently seeking them, and if you're diligently using them, you know what the Bible just promised you? You're not going to be fruitless. You will be fruitful. However, what's the warning to every single one of us? If these things are not in you, because Jesus Christ is not important to you, family is, friends are, entertainment is, your flesh, your laziness, all that is more important. You know what the Bible says? You will be barren. You will be unfruitful in knowing who Christ is. Now, I don't want you to be there, friend. I want you to get as much reward as you can when you get to heaven. But that's going to be conditioned based upon who do you consider more important every moment you wake up. Is it going to be Jesus Christ or is it going to be you? So now that you have it, you have all the power. Look at what he says here in verse number 9. He that lacketh these things is blind, cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. So there's the carnal Christian. There's the believer who every once in a while they might come to church. Every once in a while they might flip a page open when they're invited to a Bible study, but they know deep down inside they don't really desire it. No wonder why they're not spiritually discerning the direction that God wants them to go in their life. He says here, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, now listen, ye shall never fall. So two things. One, if these things abound, what does he promise you in verse number 8? You're not going to be unfruitful in what? The knowledge. Do you see there in verse number 8? Now, if you do these things, so there is the putting into practice, partaking of the divine nature. What does he say? Ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the what? Everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Who's going to minister that to you? That's a good question. It could be God, maybe some angels. I don't know. But all I'm telling you is when you get in there, there's going to be something ministered back to you, and could it be proportionate to how much you serve him now? That's a good question. I just want you to think about that. So how does this affect my inheritance? Go now to Galatians chapter 5 for the last couple of minutes before we close. Galatians 5. Like I said, this is just a little breakfast before the lunch, if you will. A little appetizer before the dinner for the Sunday service. We're not going to go through all the lusts of the flesh. That's for later. But I want you to see here in Galatians 5 when you turn there with me. In context, what are we talking about? The lust of the flesh. We talked about that already. You guys know that. Heart, mind, from your spirit, soul, all that. When people do that, or Christians, look at what it promises here, verse number 21. They which do such things shall what? Not inherit the kingdom of God. So, when Christians are not adding to their faith those spiritual promises, spiritual things, 2 Peter 1, when they are not letting the divine power operate in them so they can partake of the divine nature from him, the only other alternative that you're going to do is give into the flesh. You're going to walk in the flesh. And when you do that, what did the Holy Spirit tell you in 2 Peter 1? You're going to walk around like you're blind because you're forgetting something that Christ did for you on the cross. And so what's going to happen is there's going to be a stumbling block. There's going to be a blockage of you inheriting right now the glory and virtue of the divine nature that you have access to. And yes, when you die or are raptured and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, you will lose rewards that Christ wants to reward you with. So there's two things that are going to affect your inheritance for this Sunday school lesson. One, when you don't do those things and you don't want to spend time with Jesus and you don't want to let the Holy Spirit help you to partake of that glory and all that virtue and all that good spiritual stuff, no wonder why you're not going to spiritually mature. No wonder why you're not going to discern the direction that God wants you to go. You don't know the way that God wants you to go. You're kind of distant from his knowledge because God's not going to give that to you. He's not going to let you inherit more of that because you're telling him, I don't care for it, God. I could care less. I'm more important. This is more important. Fill in the blank. But number two, if you don't do that, and you do the good thing, you're spiritual and you're submitting to God and you're spending time with Jesus and you know in your heart you're striving your best to be faithful to the things of the Bible, how it tells you, you will inherit the kingdom of God. You will see the Holy Spirit of God helping your life change. You're going to see the glory and virtue of Christ in you begin to manifest through you. And then obviously, what does that look like? Present tense, before the rewards in heaven, verse number 22. The fruit of the Spirit. You will begin to access more, and you will be able to give more love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. You'll be able to see God operating in you and through you to manifest more of his spiritual presence in your life. And so that's what it looks like to be partaking of the divine nature. So today, before we close, I just want you to ask yourself, you don't have to come and confess to me. I'm not a priest. Amen. I'm just a brother. I just want you to ask yourself, does Jesus Christ mean that much to you for you to diligently seek him? And do you desire more of the fruit of the Spirit so you can inherit that spiritual stuff right now? Or is the flesh more appetizing? Do you find yourself entertaining more of laziness and fleshiness and excuses from doing more? Or are you a 2 Peter 1 Christian that is diligently wanting to add to your faith virtue and godliness and righteousness and all those things? I'll just leave you with what he said. If you add those things to your life, if you're obedient to these things in your life, you will partake of the divine nature. You will be godly. You'll be spiritual. You'll be learning what the will of God is for your life personally, and then you'll be able to live it out corporately with those of the members of your church. But if you don't, you know what God said? you're going to be led blind. You're going to forget the cross of Christ. You're going to lack the fruit and the knowledge of who he is. You know what he did, but you're just going to lack knowing him personally. And he's not going to allow you to inherit more of the virtue and the glory that he wants to impart to you, because in your heart, he can see the sincerity that it's not there for him. So I just want to give you that warning that every day that goes on, every day that goes on until Christ comes back, it's a private relationship, one-on-one. These things will affect the inheritance of God. Right now, while you're still living on the earth, practically, and then number two, in the eternal everlasting kingdom. Now, we'll talk about the rewards next time. We'll talk about the delegations of duties and what that looks like for Christians, what we'll be doing in heaven or the new heaven and the new earth. But I'm just telling you, if you don't want to worry about losing reward and disappointment, then why don't you right now choose Jesus? Why don't you choose the Bible? Why don't you start living your life as best you can, pleasing God, learning how you should start living for him in your private life, what he wants you to do with your body, how he wants you to dress, how he wants you to protect your eyes and from music and all those things. Why don't you start showing him now so you don't have to worry about losing? But if you don't, because you have free will, keep living how you want. But just don't be surprised on that day when it comes, because Brother Carlos taught you today, and the Lord will remind you, I showed you from the Bible what I said in the Bible. It's, why didn't you want that, daughter? Why didn't you want that, son? So consider that the effects of our inheritance, part number one. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the word of God. I pray that today the members were stirred, like I was, to want to live sincerely for Jesus. And Father, if there's hearts today that are struggling, maybe some of them really do. Maybe some of them really don't. Lord, I just pray that they would consider the price of the cross, of what you were willing to do for them. Even though they may not be thankful all the time, even though I might not be mindful all the time, nevertheless, it did not change your heart to willingly want to come down from heaven to die on the cross to pay for our sins. So God, today, may you motivate us with reminding us of what Jesus Christ did. So that way it'll help us and it'll convict us to want to serve him that much more, to want to please him with our bodies that much more, with our time, with our effort, with our energy, with the talents you've given us, all those things, God. Until then, Lord, I'll thank you for not letting me go and not letting them go. We pray this in the name of Jesus. What did we say, church? Amen. All right, church, hope that was a blessing. We're going to go ahead and take a 10-minute break, and then we'll start our Sunday service. Amen. May the Lord bless you.